We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
I'll see that one and raise you this one. I can't tell you who this is from, though, but look at that. I have no idea what that even means, but...
Oh, boy.
You'll laugh even harder when I tell you who that's from. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady, Marco Marquez, and Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. This is going to be a long week. It's going to be a lot of Stefania Bell, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport quoting going on this week. Huh?
Not as long as the week the Buffalo Bills fans will have. They are.
Yeah, that's rough.
They want their coach fired. They demand satisfaction. Eli Apple spent the entire day yesterday trolling them on Twitter. Sending Stefon Diggs off to Cancun, saying that he would pay for couples therapy for Josh Allen and Stefon Diggs on Twitter. And so now all of a sudden, Buffalo fans, they united with Cincinnati. It's very pro wrestling esque. So they united with Cincinnati fans on Saturday to root for Jacksonville. I'm seeing videos of these watch parties in Buffalo where Cincinnati fans are up there for the game, and Buffalo fans were all rooting for Jacksonville to win because they wanted the Chiefs out. It was amazing. Right. And then on social media, you know, everyone excited about Mahomes' ankle. But then what they forgot was they had to play each other the next day. And I think Buffalo fans thought, and Buffalo had this idea, hey, this is our story. You know, we're the stars of this. Everyone's going to lay down, and the emotion is just going to carry us through the Super Bowl. Until they got their asses handed to them by Cincinnati. Then Cincinnati turns heel, leaves town, and Eli Apple's just ripping them apart. And Buffalo's like, wait a minute, I thought we were friends. And now all of a sudden Buffalo fans are turning on Cincinnati fans on social media. Now they're rooting for the Chiefs. It's hilarious because Cincinnati is leaning into this villain role. And you know what? That's good. Fine. With Eli Apple smoking the cigar after the game, and now Jesse Bates saying, I hope Patrick Mahomes is 100% because I don't want any excuse. I don't want any excuses when we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's coming now.
It's going. Yeah. Let's go. They got defenders from Cincinnati saying on the sideline when the game was pretty much over in Buffalo, we're going to Burrowhead instead of Arrowhead, Burrowhead. The trash talk. And so now it almost fits. And now they're favorites.
I just heard that Lebo just told me that this morning.
Yeah.
So overnight they went from being underdogs to being whatever. I guess it's all a pick'em game anyway, right?
Yeah.
At one point.
And so now, they're super confident, maybe overconfident. Who knows? But it's such a different feel from when they came in Arrowhead for the championship game last year. Now, I mean, you could say there's pressure, more pressure on them. They're the defending champs. They're supposed to win this game because Mahomes may not be 100%. And now they're talking and talking and talking. So
has Justin Reed said anything?
He will. I bet he will. Wait till I check it out there tomorrow.
Check his Twitter account.
Firing it up.
I'll see to it. All right. But this is crazy. First of all, let's just start there. Were you surprised, not that they won, but how easily the Bengals won against the Bills?
I think everybody was surprised by that.
It was shocking.
I don't think anybody was going around saying, like, I was on the bandwagon of down three offensive linemen. It's going to be hard to throw the football, hard to run it.
And I said all week before, they're going to beat Buffalo. Everyone complaining about the neutral site. It's not going to happen. But then with the offensive line injury, I go, I don't know. Now I'm not as confident. But, it was 14-0. I'm like,
but the bigger thing,
good God.
The bigger thing to me was just they shut down Buffalo. And Buffalo was the second highest scoring offense in the league. I mean, they averaged 28 points a game. And they got 10 points at home with – everybody healthy. There was nobody not playing for Buffalo on offense who was valuable.
There were some signs, like Josh Allen turning the football, that he wasn't right in the elbow and everything
else. They were 4-1 in games where they had 3-plus turnovers this year. They scored 31 points against the Dolphins, had 3 turnovers, and almost 500 yards of offense.
But the way I look at it, like these, okay, the three elite teams in the AFC, Chiefs, Buffalo, Bengals, and I think we can all agree the Chiefs can get away with turning the football over against other teams, and they did beat everyone else, but then that crap didn't work against Buffalo or Cincinnati. Buffalo can get away with Josh Allen firing footballs into the stomachs of defenders and things until they play one of the other big boys, and then that's where it kind of stopped. I mean, what they were doing didn't – Cincinnati's too good.
They are. I mean, Cincinnati is the best team in the AFC. I mean, I think they have decided that right now. Now, whatever happens on Sunday, we'll find out. But I think, you know, they've beaten Buffalo in Buffalo. They've beaten the Chiefs. They've won 10 straight games. They have a ton of confidence, like you said. And so for me, that game, you know, Buffalo certainly had some flaws, but the Bengals exposed even more flaws. And that's hard to do.
And they ran it well.
On the road. Their offensive line looked better with down three offensive linemen. That's almost impossible to do. And so, you know, everything they're saying about Joe Burrow right now and the things he's doing, I think Zach Taylor deserves a ton of credit for the way they coach. Brian Callahan, their offensive coordinator. This team, you know, you just made the point. Last year, they were finding themselves along the way to the Super Bowl. This year, they know exactly who they are. And they know exactly what they can do. And, yeah, it's – look, I mean, I think that
– pressure's on them.
I don't think they feel pressure, to be honest with you. I think that they – and this, I felt that way when they came in here last year. Like, they don't go anywhere scared. I mean, they've had, what, 4 road playoff games now, I think, that they've played?
Burrow's 3-0.
Yeah, or 3-0. It's just the fourth one, 3-0. So they've played 3 road playoff games and won all 3. Tough places to play, Nashville, Arrowhead, Buffalo, and walked away with wins. And walked away looking good doing it.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I think they have an identity, and part of that identity is they're brash and they talk trash and middle finger to everybody out there. And I think they'll convince themselves that they're the underdogs, even if they're the favorites.
They're leaning into being the villains.
Yeah.
Like the stupid, they're selling tickets to the game in Atlanta? What disrespect while Cincinnati's selling tickets to a possible championship game in Cincinnati.
Right, everybody does that, right?
Yeah. Right.
Even their coach was saying, like, I'm going to find anything on the internet I can to get my guys fired. And look, they believe in that because they know, because I've been around them, you know, a few times this year. They know that everybody looked at them last year and said, oh, that was a fluke. Got lucky.
Yep.
Ball bounced your way.
That's all over.
They're not as good as the Chiefs.
It's all Burrow's over. But the pressure's on them.
But I'm saying they still feel that way. Whether or not people outside believe that, there is still. And they started. They were. You just said a day ago they were the underdogs, with Mahomes dealing with a high ankle sprain, and so all that stuff. It's a city. Trust me. When you go to Cincinnati and you're around the franchise, you're around the players in that locker room. When they were 0-2, they were saying the same thing, that everybody is writing us off now. Everybody thinks we were just a one-year wonder. And the quarterback is that way. I'm telling you, you spend time around Joe Burrow, he's got a chip on his shoulder, you know, that you can see from the Goodyear blimp. Like, everything he does, he's like, nobody believes in us. That whole locker room echoes the same sentiment. And so, yeah, they're not going to – they may be leaning into being the villain, but that's because they think nobody really believes in them. Even now, people are saying, you know, if you say Joe Burrow is as good a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes, people are going to go nuts. And so, trust me, they hear all that stuff. And they utilize it.
And Mahomes hears all that stuff too. I mean, he's, you know, he's the guy that counts out the draft picks after he's playing the Bears. I mean, he finds whatever way he can have a chip on his shoulder as well, which is what makes this a great game. I mean, that's why I cannot wait for this game, because there's two really good football teams who have identities, and there's a storyline too. They don't like each other. You know, like I think we were talking about this yesterday a little bit, but people try to manufacture rivalries all the time.
Oh yeah.
And we thought it was going to be Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. Then it was going to be Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson. Then it was going to be a Mahomes versus Josh Allen. And all along, this was the one that was coming. These were the dudes that actually would go beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, and they don't like each other, which is what you want, right? Like if you like sports, these are the kind of games that you want to see.
Yeah. No, I said on our podcast, I said it's like the old Hagler-Leonard rivalry back in the 80s, where it's just like Marvin Hagler was tougher, stronger, brutish, and Sugar Ray was kind of like more savvy and more of a dancer and kind of – but Sugar Ray would beat him. And I think that's
except for the fact that he didn't.
I would rather.
What do the history books say?
I would rather Hagler Hearns. You know, let's go Hagler Hearns here.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I hated Sugar Ray Leonard, and I love Marvin Hagler.
Yeah.
But he just compared the Bengals to Hagler. I think we got to talk about.
And look, I don't buy.
The Chiefs aren't soft though.
They're not. I'm not saying they're soft. I'm just saying there is a rivalry here that it's surprising that it became this, but it's surprising because the Bengals came from nowhere. They came from nothing. 3 years ago, they were a team that was probably on the verge of firing their head coach. The quarterback had a major knee injury. They'd won 6 games in 2 years. They hadn't been in the playoffs since 2015. They were a bottom feeder. And so to be where they are now in this position, there's a lot of guys in that locker room who remember those days. And a lot of guys who – you know, I say go to Cincinnati and see. They didn't have an indoor facility until this year.
Right.
Like every other team in the NFL had a place to practice inside.
Well, their owner's a cheapskate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so they've had to fight for all this stuff. The reputation of that franchise around the NFL is well known.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Right. And so but now
they're the new Raiders.
We're talking about, hey, how do you – you know, you use whatever you can for motivation.
Yeah.
The Chiefs can absolutely all week long play the, well, no one thinks we can win now. They've made us underdogs at Arrowhead. We've hosted 5 straight AFC championship games, but our quarterback's banged up, and now everyone's picking, listen to Cincinnati, they're coming in here overconfident, and so they can play. It's interesting because when's the last time they've been able to say that? Like, legitimately, like, we're the underdog. We're not supposed to win this game in the playoffs.
I don't think you even need that. All you got to do is look at the last 3 games.
Yeah.
You've lost the last 3 games. And so they kept you from going to the Super Bowl last year. They beat you this year. They beat you in Cincinnati. They've beaten you everywhere you can play a game. They've beaten you every which way you can win a game. And so I don't think you need to sit there and talk about, well, nobody believes in us. Nobody thinks we can do it. Everybody's riding on, you know, on their bandwagon. Now you got to say, hey, look, we haven't beaten these guys. That's it. We haven't beaten these guys. And if we beat them, we go to the Super Bowl. I don't think pressure or motivation or, you know, who's selling tickets here or who's saying what on social media matters. I think it's you got to win one game to be AFC champions. That's all you have to know about this game.
Do you think that the Bengals, there's any danger that they come in overconfident?
I don't think so, because they've never played a game over. I think they come in confident. I think they come in brash. I think to use the word Nate used. But, you know, that they don't remind me of the Raiders. They remind me of the Cowboys, back when the Cowboys got going.
Well, I mean way back when they were the bad guys that everybody, they kind of like, you know, they were the renegades, and they were good back then. I'm talking about those Raiders.
They remind me of the Dallas Cowboys when they started to get going in the early 90s, when they had Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
Did they have a White House in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I don't know. PG show, isn't it?
Is there a chance? Now we just can't. We can't erase. It was one game, but they still have those same offensive line issues.
Yep.
And it is, and there were some circumstances. That was snow. There was a lot. You know, it's amazing. It looked like they were so much more comfortable playing in the snow that it looked like Buffalo was the fish out of water.
Yeah, the snow was a factor certainly, but I just think Joe Burrow is the bigger factor, and just the way and their coaching. I mean, certainly, the way they are so adaptable in what they do. And certainly they can bomb you up with those receivers if you give Burrow time, but they are so good. Like, they ran the ball 34 times in that game.
Right.
You know? And so they just said, hey, yeah, we can't sit here and play our usual style of throw first, run second offense. We're going to have to get the run game going. And they were physical, just like when they played the Chiefs the first time. They're a physical team.
We're going to break after this. We'll get focused, continue to focus to the Bengals and the Chiefs. But I want to put the Bills to bed here and ask you about this. Because this is interesting to me. It feels like that it's been forced upon everyone. It's the Bills. The Bills are next. The Bills are next. How many times have we all the emotion from this DeMar Hamlin thing is going to carry him right to the Super Bowl? And they flopped. They almost lost to Skylar Thompson.
I think they got beat. I don't think they flopped. I don't think they fell apart. I think they just played a really good team and had a bad day.
But now just overall, they were in the championship game. Then last year they lost in the divisional round, the playoffs. This year they got their ass kicked in the divisional round. They put a lot of money into Von Miller, and that blew up in their face. Things aren't perfect there.
Let me ask you this. Mahomes is off his rookie deal, right?
Yeah.
You think they're going to be competing for a championship every year he's here?
Yeah.
You think the Bills can't do that with Josh Allen?
I don't know. They haven't even got to the Super Bowl.
Now whether they win one, but you saying they're not? You think they're not going to be competing?
But are they gonna get there? They haven't gone to the Super Bowl yet.
I don't know that. I'm just saying
because
that
now they have to deal with Cincinnati and Burrow. It's not just getting past the Chiefs, and now they have two roadblocks they have to get past.
Yeah, but every year is different. Like the Chiefs are going in this game with Patrick Mahomes with a high ankle sprain.
Right.
You know, the Bengals could go in the next year and Burrow could blow his knee out or the other knee out. You never know what's gonna happen. As long as you have a great quarterback in this league and a great coach, I think they have both.
Is he a great coach?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that team's record before he showed up. Like, how are you going to define what a head coach is, a great head coach? They've been to one playoff game.
To be great, you have to get to a Super Bowl at least to be great. I mean, he's good. He's really good.
I would say he's one of the top three or four coaches in the NFL right now.
Marco even looked up there.
Is he above the four coaches that are still playing?
To me, I mean, you thought the Buffalo was going to go. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like they flopped.
They got their ass kicked at home.
But they almost flopped against the Dolphins. They barely beat the Dolphins.
They didn't just lose. They got their ass kicked.
Okay, so if the Chiefs get their ass kicked against the Bengals this week, are you going to say the Chiefs flopped?
Wait a second.
I mean, look, first of all, Andy Reid's already won 10 playoff games for two different teams.
Yeah.
He's been to, nine conference championship games. I mean, he's got the pelts on the wall that he deserves. If he has a flop here or there, you don't judge it as harshly because he's had all the other wins. But second of all, if Mahomes goes out and plays like Patrick Mahomes and they get their ass kicked and they get held to 10 points, that's a flop. If that happens this weekend, that is a flop, in my opinion,
But also, the narrative,
if they lose, that isn't a flop. If they lose 27-24, that's different.
This was the Bills' year. That's all we heard all year long.
Okay, time out. We've heard it, but there are teams that end up winning championships when it's, quote-unquote, not their year.
Right.
They can win a championship next year.
But this year, they flopped.
If you want to call it flopping, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to argue semantics here.
They scored 10 points at home.
I get it. But like I said, if the Chiefs end up getting beat 30-10, are we going to sit here and say, yeah, this was a disaster, they didn't show up? Or are we going to say, hey, the Bengals are really good?
It could be both. But like the Chiefs played this Bengals team to a 3-point game earlier this year.
Yeah.
Now look, if Mahomes goes out there and he's hopping around on one leg like he did last game, or Henny plays and it happens, I think you could say, okay, they didn't have Mahomes. But if Mahomes goes and plays and looks decent and they only score 10 points, I will say that was a flop.
The larger point I'll make here about McDermott being a great coach, is Mike Vrabel a great coach?
No, he's a good coach.
I think he's a great coach. I think he's done a tremendous job with that team.
I think,
if you want to say a Hall of Fame coach, if you want to put that level on it, but there's a lot of great coaches out there who aren't winning championships.
I guess that's my definition.
Was Marty Schottenheimer a great coach?
I guess more credit to Vrabel for what he's done because he doesn't have a great quarterback or an elite quarterback than Sean McDermott.
Well, I guess however you want to get to that point, was Marty Schottenheimer a great coach?
So I've heard that debate a lot, and I guess it depends on how you define the term great. For me, like Hall of Fame is great. Is there a different level?
I think Hall of Fame is above great.
Okay.
I think
you'd
be a great coach and not a Hall of Fame coach.
Because it seems to me like greatness is, and to me, I love Marty Schottenheimer for all the things he did. He won on a consistent basis. He failed repeatedly in the playoffs. He did, and he knew it. And you go back and look at some of those games. He sat a quarterback that was Super Bowl capable on the bench because he was too scared that guy would make mistakes. And he played mediocre quarterbacks that were risk averse, and it kept them from going to the Super Bowl. And that is a difference between the coaches that make it to the Super Bowl. Zach Taylor, to me, has a big one up on McDermott. He's been to a Super Bowl.
Let's just be honest. Andy Reid never won a Super Bowl until he had Patrick Mahomes.
He was a great coach then.
Yeah, but he got to one.
If Marty Schottenheimer would have had Patrick Mahomes, he would have won a couple of Super Bowls.
But Marty Schottenheimer would have never let... Right. But here's how I feel about that. Marty Schottenheimer would have never let Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes. He was so scared of guys making mistakes. It would have driven him nuts to see him running all over the place.
I'm trying to get back to the narrative, like, at the beginning of the season, no Tyreek Hill. Mahomes is going to come back to earth. You see the Raiders and the Broncos and the Chargers. Boy, the Chiefs would be lucky to finish second in this division. And all I heard was Buffalo, 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 Buffalo. And now they've got their asses handed to them. They're home, and the Chiefs are back hosting the AFC Championship game. And so they weren't supposed to be here.
That's not true. Nobody was saying they weren't supposed to be. Nobody was.
At the beginning of the season?
They may have been predicting it. They may have been predicting they wouldn't win a championship or they would not be as good. But no one out there is. I would defy you to go out there and find somebody.
Bart Scott
and say,
said that they weren't making the playoffs. Rich Eisen said the Raiders are going to win the division. I mean,
go out there and find me a consensus of people who say every year Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback, every year Josh Allen's playing quarterback, every year Joe Burrow's playing quarterback. Those teams have a chance to be here. That's ridiculous.
Were they not supposed to take a step back this year without Tyreek Hill and resetting the defense? They weren't supposed to take a step back?
That's
all I heard.
Taking a step back from where they were, which is to say, hey, maybe they're not going to be where they are, a 14-win team. But plenty of people were picking them 12 wins, 11 wins.
But they exceeded expectations then.
I think their expectation is to win a championship. To me, if you're not winning a championship with what they have, anybody. Yeah, Buffalo did not reach their expectation. I agree with that. I don't think if the Chiefs don't win a championship, they didn't reach their expectation. I don't give points for you got to the AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game. You can't tell me the last five teams before the Chiefs to play in that game.
But if that's
only
the case,
championships
then,
matter.
If that's the case, then Buffalo flopped, man. They didn't even make it to the championship game, and they lost a home game and got their butts kicked.
Did the Chiefs flop last year?
Yes.
Okay, they flopped.
They blew
flopped the
it in the second half of that game. They absolutely blew that game.
You don't flop when you go to the Super Bowl.
If you don't win it, you...
I mean, they flopped in the Super Bowl. That was a poor performance in the Super Bowl. Now, there's a lot of reasons for it, but yes, that was...
All right,
then
the argument is then there's going to be 31 flops in this league, only one team.
No, based on
expectations, Buffalo was the favorite to go to the Super Bowl.
Jacksonville didn't flop. Jacksonville did...
That's fine. Yeah. I don't know what we're arguing here. It's like only one team gets to be happy at the end.
And so I'm arguing that Buffalo flopped.
Yes.
They were not supposed.
Yes.
That's all I heard.
They laid a turd on the field when they were supposed to be the best team in the NFL.
We come in here on Tuesday. If the Chiefs lose, I want to hear you say the Chiefs flop. Because all I'm going to hear is say,
I'm making it clear if the Chiefs win.
Well, that ain't happening. I'm telling you right now, that ain't happening.
You have been hot and horny for the Chargers, the Bills. Now it's the Bengals. And guess what? You might be taking the Chiefs home at the end of the night, whether you want to or not.
Oh, my stars. Then you're going to be telling yourself, I liked them all along. No, to make it clear, if they go lose a three-point game like they usually do to the Bengals, I'll say it's a big disappointment. I'm not going to call that a flop because I know the Bengals are a very good football team.
Who's the better team
again,
right now?
If they get their ass kicked.
Who's the better team right now?
Well, how healthy is Patrick Mahomes?
Who's the better team right now? They've played.
Are we going by records? The one seed, the Chiefs.
I think the Bengals are a better team right now.
Vegas tells me the Bengals.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think the Bengals,
I think the Bengals are a better team right now. But if they hold the Chiefs to 10 points with Mahomes playing a representative level,
okay,
absolutely call it a flop. And I will say, last year, man, I came in, I think the sentence I made a point to say the day after that game, the Chiefs blew that game. They did blow that game. Yes, the Bengals deserve a lot of credit, but the Chiefs had that game going into halftime. They screwed up the end of the first the end of the first half, and then and Patrick Mahomes played his worst half of football that he's played, and they all know it. They all said it. They admitted it. They owned it. And honestly, that's why if they go lay a turd on the field on Sunday, it is a flop, because all Chris Jones has talked about since that game was, man, I didn't get any sacks. I left two plays on the field that could have won that game. Every guy on that team has been thinking about this game, and now they got it back. It's in their stadium. They've got the shot at the team that ruined their season last year. So if they go lay a turd, yeah, that's a flop. Man, they got to be ready to play, and I think they will be. I think it's going to be a great game. If they lose a close game, that's not a flop. It's disappointment, but that's not a flop, because the Bengals
are
really good.
They just lost to the better team.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get their ass, because they haven't got, every game they've lost since Cincinnati's 3 points. That'll be a huge disappointment if they get beat like the Bills did.
Man, the Bills were never in that game.
Those games happen.
They do. But, man, when you are, because you said it yourself, I'm using your own words. You're saying, like, hey, man, nobody cares about the team that was really good and then lost in the playoffs.
I totally agree. Bills was a disappointing season for them. They had this was set up for them. They set their sights on this. It didn't happen. I agree with that.
Do you think they're going to fire Leslie Frazier, make a scapegoat of someone?
No, just going to stick with it? I think that they will look at their personnel and come back and retool. Look, it's nothing gets decided after 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. As long as Matt Ryan is a perfect example. Matt Ryan was a guy who couldn't win a playoff game. The first 3 or 4 years of his career, he wound up winning an MVP and going to the Super Bowl, having a 28-3 lead in Super Bowl in 2016, which was 9 years after he started playing in the NFL. Like, no book is written on anybody who's got the kind of talent Josh Allen has, the kind of talent Buffalo has. Like, they will be back in contention next year, the year after that, just as the Chiefs are in contention now. As long as you have a star, a superstar, and a great coach, you can win a lot of games in this league.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So what are you? You've seen pictures I've shown you. You saw the injury.
And you put these online.
I put nothing on retweeting. That's all I'm doing.
Anybody know this?
Oh yeah, people looked at it. Okay. What do you expect from Mahomes on Sunday?
I expect that he'll be out there. I expect that he will give a valiant effort. I expect he will not be able to move very well, and I expect the Bengals to win.
Well, like, what kind of score?
Oh, I'd probably go 31-23.
And what if Mahomes goes out there and has a great game and they win?
I'd be shocked. I said all along, their route to winning a championship was Mahomes playing at a really high level for the entire postseason. You know, and he's done amazing things, and you never want to underestimate somebody with his willpower and his talent. I thought it was amazing that he went back out there and played in the second half.
Yes.
But look at the numbers that they put up with him playing the second half. They were 1-6, 1-for-6 on third downs. He threw for like 100 yards. You know, it's different when somebody gets hurt in the middle of a game versus when somebody gets hurt going into a game or has an injury going into a game. You know, I think it's a lot harder for a team to adjust their game plan or even to adjust their players' expectations, their defenders' expectations of what a quarterback can do. Perfect example is that touchdown pass Mahomes threw to MVS. I forget what it was, the fourth quarter. And if you look at the defense the Jacksonville Jaguars were playing in that situation, they had Aluakon, their middle linebacker, spying Mahomes. Mahomes is in the pocket. He steps up. Aluakon comes forward, middle of the field, vacates an area, and the ball goes right over his head to MBS. I guarantee you, if you have an entire week to prepare for that, your coaches are telling Aluakon he's not running. You know, he's not running. So you can get away with some of that stuff in the heat of the moment, you know, when things are moving really fast and people are trying to adapt. You know, the Bengals, I mean, ultimately the Bengals have had a really good game plan for Patrick Mahomes every time they played him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not played a great game every time they played him. So much of what makes him great is his ability to go off script, to buy time, to extend plays. I just don't see where taking that away from him. And you can show me all the videos, all the photos you want. Like, I just, until he's out there running around doing it, I'm just going to be skeptical of him being able to move effectively in that game.
All right, Marco, I believe, has been digging. He unearthed a compilation video of things.
Actually, people, just made it during the break.
Things people were saying about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes before the season, so we could get a proper perspective of what was expected. Let's hear this.
Will KC's offense take a step back without Tyreek Hill?
Because it's cheetah, cheetah, cheetah.
Yeah.
It's almost like cheat code is cheat up.
Is it time to pump the brakes on a Patrick Mahomes hype?
Yes. Hell yes.
I think he just lost a whole lot of spectacular.
On the move, Mahomes stops, spins, flips it forward for the touchdown.
It could be a reset year where you guys missed the playoffs.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Patrick Mahomes is in regression.
Let's not act like it ain't going to be a drop-off without Tyreek Hill.
Now you don't have somebody that's going to take the top off the defense.
Mahomes going deep, has a man, found out Skinley makes the catch.
They're not going to be as explosive.
No.
Meanwhile, trying to go long. Valdez Scantling.
Let me talk about Patrick Mahomes in regression a little more, because I don't think you understood what I was talking about.
Because life without Tyreek Hill ain't going to be easier for that offense.
But because he doesn't have Tyreek Hill, he is not going to win the MVP.
Man, the Chargers got this division. Don't even do that. Chargers got this division.
That's why I picked the Raiders to win your division. Your Denver Broncos, they just won the West.
Rock with cooking Denver.
Yeah, he'll cook.
Yeah, that's not what he wanted. Cook.
You can't say Russell Wilson's that far from Patrick Mahomes.
You can't say Russell Wilson's that far from Patrick Mahomes. You can't say Russell Wilson's that far from Patrick Mahomes.
I think that Patrick Mahomes continues to get a little bit, I hate to use this word, but exposed.
You just played me a tape that was 60% Skip Bayless, 30% Bart Scott, and a couple people, random people thrown in there.
Stephen A. Smith.
10% Stephen A. Smith.
Shannon Sharp's out
so
there ready to
basically
fight somebody.
You watched Get Up, First Take, and whatever, Max Kellerman show, and threw that the tape thing. Look, if you guys want to go off those three guys, yeah, then fine. But most of the people I pay attention to, most of the people I listen to in the NFL, the people I respect are as NFL aficionados, people who aren't trying to get you to watch their show or listen to their shows, would say, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is a special player. Andy Reid is a special player. The Chiefs are a very good team. Nobody would say, look, I don't think you had that many people picking them to win a championship. I totally agree with that. But nobody would be surprised they are where they are based on who's playing quarterback and who's coaching the team. Even the guys talking there.
So what's the path for the Chiefs, besides like Mahomes having a spectacular game, what's the path for the Chiefs to finally beat the Bengals? They've lost three consecutive three-point games to them. What can they do besides Mahomes being spectacular to win this game?
Get to the quarterback.
Well, that's
that's the first start.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're going to have to play a really good defensive game. And they're going to have to find ways to have answers for – I mean, the Bengals are so difficult, and I've said this every time they play the Chiefs, they are so difficult to deal with because they have so many weapons. And the quarterback, I definitely believe – the quarterback is as close to Tom Brady as I've seen in 20 years.
What did the – and I understand they have excellent personnel, but, like, what did the Ravens do in the opening round of the playoffs?
Well, the Ravens have guys who can cover man-to-man. So that you start there. You have an all-pro corner in Marlon Humphrey. You have an all-pro corner in Marcus Peters. You've got a really good safety in Marcus Williams. You have a ton of versatile pieces that you can move around and mix up coverage. And you know them. You've seen them a lot. And so the first thing you got to do is find an answer for Ja'Marr Chase. And so if you don't have someone on your team who can cover him man-to-man, they're going to wear you out with him. So all of a sudden now you got to roll a safety over to deal with him. The second touchdown pass that Burrow threw in that game, if you saw it, hey, they just faked a screen pass or a quick hitch to Ja'Marr Chase. The linebacker goes flying over there, the corner goes flying over, the safety starts looking that way, and Hayden Hurst goes right past him. I mean, he's great with the ball in his hands, and he's great when it's not in his hands. Then the other guy, Higgins, could start for most teams in the NFL. Because he's a legit number one receiver. And so you've got two guys there. You got Tyler Boyd, who's really good in the slot. You got Hayden Hurst, who's a really good tight end. And then you got two good running backs in Mixon and Perine. So you better walk on the field with a whole bunch of guys who are athletic, who can cover, who can blitz, and you better have some guys who can get after him off the edge. Like, they can, when they play the Chiefs and Chris Jones is in there, they just double team him and he goes away. So your guy, Karlaftis, is better bring it. Frank Clark had better bring it. Everybody else on the edge better bring it, because Joe Burrow is so good at seeing things so fast, and he has guys who win so quick off the line of scrimmage, you never get him panicked. He never thinks he can't make a play against you.
I mean, who would have thought that former Kansas offensive lineman Hakeem Adeniji would play such a crucial role in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. Shannon Sharpe said, Hakeem Olajuwon, Hakeem from Coming to America, that's the only Hakeems I know.
I remember actually interviewing him when he was playing at Kansas in the David Beatty era down at Big 12 Media Day, and remember David Beatty telling me, hey, this NFL player right here, we got an NFL player on our hands. And you're kind of, at the time, you know, Kansas winning like two games a year, you're like, oh, okay, all right. He's out there. He's actually played pretty well. But against that offensive line, as banged up as they are, like this, to me, the cream rises to the top in moments like this. Burrow's already shown he can do it. Mahomes and Kelce have shown time and time again that they show up in these games. This is Chris Jones's game. He's had this circled on the calendar since he missed those two sacks last year. He's talked about it time and time again. I don't know what he has to do, if he has to have a sack or two, but he has to have this has to be a big game for him. It just, to me, like, for him personally and for the team to win, he's got to have a big game, right? Like, that's if you want to be like one of the elite defensive tackles in the game, which I think he is, this is your moment right here, isn't it?
It is, but again, I mean, he had that moment last year. He had that moment back when they played in the regular season. I mean, they're going to have a plan for him. To me, it's not about – as good as he is, he's not going to beat double and triple teams. I mean, he's just not that guy.
So other guys got to step up. Other guys got to step up. Okay.
And so I think Cincinnati's philosophy, as it was in that Bills game, is like, hey, Joe Burrow can win the other matchups for us. The ball's going to – the thing that makes him great is that he's not as talented as Mahomes or Josh Allen, but he's going to make the play that gets you to second and four. Mm-hmm. He's going to make the play that gets you to third and three. And he's going to keep the chains moving. And when he has a chance to really hit you with something, he's going to take that too. And so I underestimated that about him, because I figured hostile environment, new offensive linemen, this is when they're going to struggle. And, you know, he found a way to overcome that. And, like, I just think, again, it's – the pressure, I think the bigger factor with the Mahomes injury is that if they get out to a start like they had against the Bills and Mahomes is really hobbled, that really puts a lot of pressure on them, because they aren't explosive enough to go get points right away. They have to drive the field every possession to get points, especially in the red zone. How many times has Mahomes been able to get out of, You know, coverage is really good. He finds a lane, runs for 10, 15 yards, keeps the drive going, or scores a touchdown off of it. Like, that element is not going to be there. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to beat this team.
Burrow was sacked 41 times in the regular season, 2.5 sacks per game. So the Chiefs got to get him down a couple times, right? If they like that's a fair expectation. They need to sack him at least.
They
got to
sack him four or five times.
Well, the team that sacked him were you know, Dallas, Micah Parsons, Steelers with T.J. Watt. I mean, great edge rushers.
Yeah, Chiefs only sacked him once when they played him.
Not enough. Back after this on WHB.
Supreme dream team, always up with a scheme. From hubcap to selling raps, name your theme. I'ma rise to the top, floating on the screen. Who the hell wanna stop me? I hated those who doubt me. A million refugees with unlimited warranties. Black Caesar, dating top divas. Diplomatic Middle East, no time for a visa. It just begun. I'ma shoot them one by one. Got five sides to me, something like a.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff, who wins the NFC Championship game?
Philadelphia.
Is that one going to be a
Eagles
blowout?
At home. No, it'll be close. I think both games will be reasonably competitive. I just think the Eagles have been the best team. I think they've been the best team in the league all year. Certainly the best team in the NFC. And as much as I like Brock Purdy and the Niners, what they have on offense and defense, I just feel like home field's going to matter. I think Nick Sirianni is a really good coach. I think their defense matches up well with what the 49ers bring. You asked me the question about the Bengals and the Ravens. You know, the Eagles have a lot of guys who can cover. They got a really good pass rush. Not as great as a run defense, but they've got a lot of ways to get after you, and their offensive line is really, really strong. So I think that they run the ball well. I think they're able to create some issues for Brock Purdy. I think he'll play okay, but I give the edge to the team playing at home.
And again, your prediction and final score for the AFC Championship game.
I got, what did I say, Bengals 31, 30, 23? 31-23.
Why are you giving him a bell there? Oh, because you're betting money on it.
Well, no, because he was trying to remember his score, and I was letting him know that you got it right.
It was? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a very good game. I just think the difference is that Mahomes is not going to be Mahomes. And without him, I don't see them beating. The Bengals have that look of a team that they tasted success last year. And going back to the disrespect card, they won the AFC last year. They're not one of these teams showing up trying to figure out how to get to that level. Like, they've been there. They want to go back. They've got the talent. They've got the edge.
Nate, any response?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about this whole Mahomes ankle thing. I'm seeing pictures, but I still also saw him jumping around on one leg all game on Saturday. I don't know. I need more time. I need to wait for this week to play out.
How about what percentage do you think he'll be out there?
Dude, anything I
say. I love that question.
Anything I say is just a wild, uneducated guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, 70%, 60%, I don't know.
What are you saying?
80.
I don't know. But you always love that question? What percent is he going to be?
Yeah, like, infinity. Dude,
yeah. He was trying to play when he was doing hopscotch, doing giving handoffs.
Dude,
I'm fine.
That dude was 50% when he played that game.
He was telling the coach, let me go out here and play. And he's like hopping back, giving the handoff.
That was the craziest thing to me was watching that handoff where he jumped back on
one leg. What are we doing?
But then he threw a touchdown pass. You know, I don't know. It's Mahomes. I never count him out.
I know who you guys are picking. I'm not even going to ask.
Yep.
This has been the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Goodbye.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.